it on the inside. Let's go, let's take it where your friends might not know. Yes, take them to the ringside. I know you've been waiting for me.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Dropping Whistle with Santos podcast. And today, my buddy Brian is going to be on. Brian, tell us what we're going to talk about today.
Well, so we're going to be talking about your RV Tech, which is my RV repair business, mobile RV repair business, and maybe a little bit about the RV lifestyle. I've been full-time for 2 years now, traveling around up and down the East Coast.
This is a very interesting topic, okay, because I don't have enough balls to do that. Because you just told me that you did, but I actually thought you sold your house. Because I do know the people that sold their house and went full RV.
Yep.
To me, that's ballsy, but it's understandable if you're living a certain lifestyle.
Right.
Right? Okay, what was your background? What did you do for a living?
So I retired from the Navy. I did 24 years in the Navy. I was a damage controlman. Retired as a senior chief, and then I also had a home improvement business on the side. Did everything from floors to the roof, built decks, sheds, fences, all that kind of stuff. Got tired of that, and then the wife and I decided that we'd had enough and wanted to do some traveling. So it just worked out that my kids actually their lease was coming up due, so they needed a place to move into, and so they're renting my house, so I didn't have to sell. And we went and bought a camper and hit the road.
Okay, so you have a camper.
Correct.
Not an RV. So how is it, how do they gel together then?
Well, the camper RV, camper is just a style of RV. I'm a recreational vehicle is across the board. It doesn't matter whether you have a Class A, big diesel pusher, or a Class C, which is kind of the coach style.
The ones that get towed, or like the what the pickup truck is towing?
That's the kind of the pickup truck with it has a pickup truck front end, but it has the RV.
Yeah.
That's a Class C. And then you have towables, which is travel trailers. So that's, anything you're towing behind a vehicle, and those range anywhere from, 13 feet all the way up to 40 feet.
Do you need a different license?
Nope.
Okay, so what actually made you decide to do this?
We had been wanting to do it for a while. I mean, I love camping, and I wanted to travel lots of places across the U.S. that, we wanted to go see that, we haven't quite made it to yet. But all those years in the Navy and traveling around is just, I'm not meant to be rooted in one spot. So,
yeah,
I really wanted to get out and see some stuff. My wife has, has been the quote unquote good Navy wife and, stayed home and took care of the kids and, took care of the home front and didn't get a whole lot of traveling done while I was in. And so this was her opportunity to get out and see some stuff.
Okay. Now, is it safe to say that by living the RV life, that's how you became an RV tech?
Yeah. So, my personality is I really hate paying people to do things that I feel like I can do. So, hence why, I had the home improvement business because I wanted to, I did all that stuff on my own house and then started doing it on everybody else's house. Same thing with the RV. I wanted to be able to fix things in my own RV and not have to pay somebody to come do it. Or if I was somewhere where there wasn't anybody available to come fix it, that, I could do it.
So, okay. I'm going to hit you up with a bunch of probably two or stupid questions. But for me, it's like you don't think about shit when it comes to that. And I just have a bunch of questions that I like. The pictures that you sent me, explain what each picture was, because you sent me those pictures yesterday, and I don't have a clue what I'm looking at.
Another beer. Most of them were just pictures of different pieces of equipment on the different RVs. So I believe one I sent you was a water heater, a furnace. There was the inside of an AC that I worked on last week that was frozen up. And I don't remember what a couple of other pictures are, but that's you know, an RV has pretty much everything that a house has in it. It has, you have a air conditioning system, you have a heating system, plumbing, electrical, refrigerator, microwave, stove. You know, it's basically a house on wheels, which is why you can get essentially a mortgage on a camper.
Okay, here comes the 20 questions.
Okay,
Is it auto insurance or home insurance?
It's auto insurance.
So, I mean, that's a pretty solid question, right?
Right.
Since you are doing both.
It's auto insurance because you're on the road. So, you know, like I have my...
Even though it's still your home.
Correct. I have my camper insurance through Geico. Well, and there's two types of insurance out there now. You got, you know, kind of, I guess, a basic insurance to where you're just using your camper on the weekends, taking it to a campground or traveling here and there, so they cover if something happens while you're in it. And then you can also get what they call full-timers insurance because you're living in your camper full-time, which most campers out there are not yet being built for full-time living, even though there's tons of people that are doing it.
Okay. Did you ever get tired of being in a small space, though?
Well, I think for me, you know, all those years spent in the Navy on a ship, I'm used to, you know, small spaces, having a small bed, having a small bathroom, a small shower, you know, and being in close quarters with people. So it didn't really bother me, especially since I like being outside anyway. So, you know, I'd say probably
it was okay with your wife.
It took a little bit of getting used to it for her, but you know, we shopped around for a long time and found a camper that works for both of us. And
that was going to be my other question: what made you choose your particular RV?
So we really were looking for a couples camper. So basically, because you can get, you know, you get campers that have what they call bunk houses on them. So like people that have kids or have you know, want that extra space, extra beds if they have visitors or, you know, the people come visit and they want to have a place like a guest room, basically. We didn't want any of that. We just wanted a bedroom, a living room, kitchen, and a little dinette table. That was really about it, and that's exactly what we got. We have a 30-foot Rockwood that's, you know, that's basically how it's set up. It's got a master bedroom, a small bathroom, a little living area with a TV and a fireplace, and then a kitchen and a little dinette.
Okay, here comes stupid questions. How do you get your mail?
So because I still have my house here in Virginia Beach and my kids are renting it, I still use my home address for all my services, all my mail. And then wherever we're at, I just have my kids forward my mail to wherever we're at, or... Like, for example, when we're in town for the summer, you know, I just go by the house and pick it up. But there are, for full-time campers or full-time RVers out there, there are mail services that you can sign up with. And most people sign up for the ones that are in Florida. There's one in South Dakota. And there's other ones out there, but they sign up and they change their residency to states that don't have income tax, so they don't pay their income tax, but then all their mail goes there. And then those services, you pay them a monthly fee to receive your mail. And then depending on the level that you pay, or the level of membership that you are, you know, they have different, they'll either forward all your mail to you in one thing, or they'll take pictures and send you like screenshots of what mail you've got, and you can tell them whether you want it sent to you or you just want it thrown out, or what you want done with your mail from there.
Okay. Unfortunately, Virginia has income tax, fuckers. Does yours have solar panels? Can you get solar panels?
I have one solar panel on mine. It's a 200-watt panel. It can be upgraded. I can put two more on, so the system I have can handle 600 watts of solar.
So what does it juice up?
So mine, I have a large inverter that the battery feeds. So, and then mine is actually wired from the factory to feed. So it actually, there's several outlets in the camper that come off of that inverter. There's, it also feeds the refrigerator, my TV, and the furnace.
So that one solar panel.
So the battery that I have is what provides the power. The solar panel just keeps the battery, recharges the battery, but depending on how much power you use, because, you know, you only get so much power solar, from the sun to recharge the battery. And then, so depending on how many batteries you have, produces how much power that you have available.
How often do you have to replace that battery? How big is it?
Well, the one I have, a small one. I only have a single 12 volt. It's I believe it's 85 amp hours. So I don't use it very often, but like it'll run my refrigerator for a couple days. It'll run the TV for like 24 hours.
But this is if you're out in the woods, not like at a RV camp.
Right.
Okay, right. Let's verify that.
It's what they call that boondocking.
When you're boondocking, yeah, you're running off the panels, the solar panels, and your battery because you have nowhere else to get your juice.
Correct.
Okay.
Unless you have a generator.
A generator. Right. But where could you actually store that?
Mine, I don't have a whole lot of storage space, but there are tons of RVs, especially the larger ones like the Class A's, the drivables, and the Class C's. They all have onboard generators that are built into that, into the RV.
Okay, so if you're in the boondocks or even at a campground, how do you get internet into the RV?
Well, some parks have Wi-Fi. Starlink has been a big thing for a lot of RVers now. So that if you have a clear view, if you're in the woods, but you still have a clear view of the sky, you can get Starlink. Other people, like we use T-Mobile. So I have a hotspot on my phone. My wife has a hotspot on her phone. And we haven't been to too many parks where we haven't had a good enough signal to use our T-Mobile internet.
Okay, so on your travels, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess you have to Google where the RV parks are. If you don't plan a boondock, are there a lot of RV parks for you to find, or do you have to reserve, or what?
There's thousands of RV parks, campgrounds, really, throughout the U.S. Yeah,
and how much do they charge? The fees and whatever.
I think the cheapest, so you can get into the Corps of Engineering campgrounds, which are usually on the a waterway somewhere or a big lake or a reservoir that's owned by the Army Corps of Engineers. Those have been the cheapest that I've found, and some of those you can get into for $13 a night.
What's the max you can stay? Because I know a buddy
of mine. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
14 days at those ones at the Corps of Engineers.
Because from what I understand, there's no permanent spots. Right? Because you only can stay a certain amount, yep, move down the street, then you can come back.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Most of them. So
why is that?
Most of those, honestly, I don't know.
Because if everyone's set up shop in one spot, no one else can get there.
Correct.
But if I own that land and that park, what would I care? I'm getting paid anyway.
Right. And that's the difference between, so that being a government campground, you got state-ran campgrounds. You got city-ran campgrounds like we stay out at.
Are they all run the same?
Nope. Every single one of them has different policies, different rules, different prices. So right now, I think, you know, for a ballpark range of what a campsite will cost you is anywhere from, like I said, $13 a night up to $150, $175 a night, depending on the amenities and stuff that you have. So a lot of the private campgrounds have gotten really expensive, especially since, you know, with COVID, everybody was going full-time RVing. That was a huge boom for the RV industry during COVID.
Okay. So Different campgrounds. Where's one local around here that's close?
Right down here on General Booth, you got KOA, and then you got the Holiday Travel Park right across the street from that. Military campgrounds, there's one over here at Oceana, which is where I'm staying right now. You got one at Damneck. You got Fort Story. There's
a shitload of them there.
Yeah, there's probably, and then you got the Cove out there in Sandbridge. There's another one right around the corner from Sandbridge, or from Margie and Ray's. I can't remember the name of it right now.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to downsize from your house? Since obviously your kids were staying or renting it out, you weren't going to leave a lot of your stuff. Because I remember you selling a bunch of your shit.
Yeah.
How long was that process? Because in your RV, how big is your bed? Is it a full or queen?
We got a queen bed.
Full, and then what? Yeah. So you don't really have a bed. I meant what about the dressers?
We didn't take no. We didn't. So we sold a lot of our stuff. We basically pared everything down to a 10x10 storage unit that I couldn't convince the wife to get rid of stuff. So that was what went into the storage unit. So, we got, a dinette set, and then, just boxes of stuff that we've, of our personal belongings that we didn't get rid of. And everything else went Facebook Marketplace. I had several garage sales, yard sales. I probably made 24 trips to the Goodwill and the DAV and donated stuff.
How can you maintain a healthy lifestyle? Because you're really not mobile. You're just driving around. But how would you go to the gym, or you just stop and boondock and just go for a jog, go for a hike? Is that how you maintain your, a healthy lifestyle on the road?
Well, so you got most of the campgrounds you go to have hiking trails, have, there are some that there's a state park that I volunteer at down in Florida that we stayed at last year that has, several hiking trails. They do have a exercise area that has like a pull-up bar and some different stuff like that. Kayak, bikes, so all the outdoor stuff, not per se a necessary gym, but there's, so walking, hiking, stuff like that is mostly where, the exercise is coming in, and as far as the healthy lifestyle, we have, we go grocery shopping. We don't have a lot of room for food. We have a decent sized refrigerator and a pantry. So we're about probably a week and a half that we can shop for, that we have room to store in the freezer and in the fridge. But here recently we started doing that, one of those meal delivery services. It's called HelloFresh.
Yeah.
And we choose, so that's our nightly dinners every week. And we get that on Thursday, and we get a week's worth of meals. And that's actually been really good. It's a little bit more expensive than going to the grocery store, but the variety is better. And the thing that I like about it is that you get exactly the quantity that you need to make that meal. So, at the end of the week, you don't have a bunch of half cut tomatoes and, leftover vegetables and stuff in your drawer in your refrigerator rotting away.
Okay. It's a very important question here coming up.
Okay.
I think about Randy Quaid. Christmas. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yep.
Where do you pump your sewage? Where do you pump your shit?
So, some campgrounds, like the Corps of Engineering ones, that's one of the reasons why they're so cheap, is because they don't have, you don't have what they call full hookups at your campsite. So I'm able to hold, I have a sewage tank on board. There's a black tank and there's a gray tank. One holds, the gray is for your shower water and your sink water. And then you have a black tank that is for your sewage. And the gray tank lasts me about 3 or 4 days. And then the black tank, because it's just me and my wife, we can go about 8 or 9 days. And then I have if we're at one of those parks that doesn't have full hookups, I have a portable tank that you empty that into, and then I drag it over to the dump station and hook it up and dump it out and then take it back.
I'm sure that smells lovely.
It's not that bad, actually.
So you have to kind of like minimize the time limit on your showers?
Well, you have...
How do you do your laundry?
I have a small... We don't have a washer and dryer in our camper, but there are lots of campers and RVs have washers and dryers in them. But then that goes into like water usage and how much, you know, if you got full hookups, then you don't have to worry about it.
So you guys basically have to look for a laundromat.
Yeah, and a lot of the campgrounds, like the one we're in right now, has a laundromat.
Fuck.
So.
Is that difficult?
No.
No?
It's not much different than I was doing.
It's just, I don't know, I find that'd be just bothering to me that I have to go somewhere instead of just... I don't know. That would be me. I don't want to. People. And then you got to fold. You do laundry in front of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to be like. If you got over there, you got to socialize. Right? Because people are around. Yeah, hey, what are you doing laundry today? Yeah, what the fuck you think I'm doing, buddy? You know?
Well, most of the laundromats at the campgrounds are not huge anyway. So, you know, like the campground that we're at right now at Oceana, it's only got, I think, 4 machines. So, you know, usually most people, when they go over there, they're, you know, a weekend of doing their laundry. So they're using all the machines anyway. So most of the time when you're doing it, you're there by yourself, you know.
So do you have dressers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a dresser, got an armoire for, you know, hang up closet for in the bedroom for all the.
Yeah, it has to be.
So.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I think that'll be cool just because I'm going to throw the dog in there too, you know. So, of all the places
by one day and have a beer. And
I'd like to look at it, man.
Give you a tour of the camper.
I like to look at it. It'll take
5 minutes.
Yeah, I like to look at it and realize it, man. I like it, but then I'll go cheap and like, nah, I ain't gonna do it. I'm too fucking cheap. What's your favorite place that you visited?
Ooh. We stayed at a park out in, I can't remember the name of the place now. It was out in the northwest corner of North Carolina. It's up in the mountains. We were there for 2 weeks, and it was off season, so it was a little bit cooler. So the campground itself was pretty empty. It was quiet, and the people that were there were just friendly, real nice, had a campfire every night, and just relaxed.
So what do you think are the pros and the cons of RV life? What are the cons?
Cons, okay. I guess, you know, probably the small space, although that's not really a bothersome to me. One of the other cons is you know, unfortunately, because the RV lifestyle and has gotten to be so popular, there's a lot more people, and it's a lot harder to find an opening at the campgrounds, especially with so many people. Because there's a lot of people that are working full time remotely now.
Yeah,
you know, so you go someplace, and that's, you know, so now you got. You know, there's a million kids running around, and they got, you know, people just, and a lot of the RV parks have condensed spaces. So you'll go someplace where you can actually, when you walk out your front door, you're almost touching the camper next to you because they're trying to squeeze so many people into that to make money. So that's a downside. But again, so that's a con, but unlike, you know, your house, and you move into a neighborhood and you bought a house and you don't like the neighborhood, you know, you got to turn around and sell your house. Well, us, we just hook up the truck and leave.
And just peace out.
And I go find someplace else to stay. So.
Is gas way up? I guess is gas more expensive just because you have to, the miles per gallon cannot be good.
No, I mean, I right now, when I'm pulling my camper and all the stuff that I have, I'm averaging about 8 miles to the gallon. So it's a little rough. So, but we, you know, we follow. They have a camper's rule of let's see how it goes. It's 300 miles in by three and stay a minimum of 3 days. So travel no more than 300 miles in a day. You want to be at the campground by 3 o'clock and you stay a minimum of 3 days. Well, we follow that 300 miles and I like to be in by 3 or 4 o'clock, but we usually stay 2 weeks. So
like I know people that have a full, I just have an RV that they drive it around. Like there's no truck being the pulling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but they own a house.
Yep.
So where would they store an RV?
Well, if you have the space in your driveway on the side, like if you have a pad that goes down the side of your house to where, you know, like you would have a spot that some people park their boats there or something like that. Like I have space at my house on that side, but it's not long enough to park my camper because of the gate that I have. But there's people that have.
But you will still have to go to an RV park to park it. And then every 2-3 weeks, you got to move it to another spot. If you don't have parking by your house?
Well, no, you can. There's plenty of places that if you're not using it, you put it in storage.
Okay. Like a boat marina? There's like a something for an RV?
All the storage units around here, all the storage places, like the place that I have my storage unit, has a big parking lot that they rent spaces for you to park RVs.
Okay.
You know, but that gets, you know, to me, that part of it is gets to be a little expensive because, you know, you're just paying to have your RV sitting in a parking lot somewhere, you know, and you're not using it.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, I mean, you're taking it out every weekend, but, you know, that's what a lot of people do. Now, like, so for example, the Cove down there in Sandbridge, and actually the Holiday Travel Park has the same thing. They have a big storage facility there. So if you want to store it there, because there's people that actually have RVs, have campers that don't have a vehicle to tow it with. So they take it to one of these places like the Cove down in Sandbridge or the Holiday Travel, and they put it in their storage lot. And then when they want to go camping, they call and make a reservation for that weekend, and that campground goes and gets their camper out of storage and moves it to a spot. And they come out there and they stay in their camper for the weekend and camp. And then they leave and go home. And then the park takes their camper and puts it back in storage for them.
Huh.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
To me, that part's a little weird, but.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust anybody driving it or towing it around.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's get. I'm looking at your business card. Brian Bruner. Your RVTech.net.
Mm-hmm.
That's your website.
Yep.
You're a certified RV technician, licensed and insured. Okay. The RV, mobile RV repair, inspections, and maintenance. You do air conditioners, furnaces, water heaters, tank, on demand, and hydronic. No idea what that means. What's that? What does that mean? So, hydronic? What's that mean?
It's essentially a boiler system. So it's, you know, I don't know if you're familiar, like a radiator.
Okay.
You know, you get water that goes, hot water that goes through an element and heats up the room that way.
All right, you do plumbing, electrical troubleshooting, and repair. I guess you repair awnings, or you could install awnings.
Both.
Minor slide repairs. What does that slide repairs mean?
So slides on your RV or those, you know, you have rooms that move in and out, which gives you more room on the inside. Like my camper has three slides.
That's what they call it. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
Those are rooms that move out. So the reason it says minor is because I'm mobile, all my work is usually done in a campground or at an RV park. And a lot of those rooms get really big and they get really heavy. So to do, say, for example, have to replace the floor in a slide. You had water damage and you have to replace the floor. Well, that slide room actually has to physically come out of the RV and be supported on stands for the plywood to be cut out and replaced. And that requires a shop. So you'd have to take that to a dealership or an actual RV shop.
You also do, what's a propane system? Is that, I guess that means RVs that take in, that have gas?
Yeah, propane, so all
gas, just, or what do you do?
Yeah, so just all RVs, so like your stove in your RV runs off of propane.
So that's not electrical through the battery?
Nope.
Okay, so you have to get like a regular gas propane tank that you use for your grill.
Yep. Okay. Exactly. So you have your stove, your water heater, your furnace, and then some people have what they call dual fuel refrigerators. So you'll have a refrigerator that will run off of propane or off of electricity. So it just makes you, so if you have all that stuff running off of propane, then you can go out and boondock and you still have, you know, you have your refrigerator, you're able to heat water to take a shower or, you know, wash dishes. Cold at night, you can light the furnace up. The only thing that it won't run is an air conditioner. But all that other stuff.
Electrical only for the battery runs the air conditioner?
Nope. You gotta have 110 power. You gotta be plugged in to run your AC. Unless
that could be another con.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you can run a generator to run your AC. Or there are solar systems out there that you can build a solar system that will run your AC.
Are you thinking about adding a few more solar panels just to?
Not right now. Just simply because we're here late. You know, for the last probably 6 months, we've been hooked up everywhere we went. So, you know, having the solar hasn't been something that I need for right now.
And you do general maintenance. So yep. It's like what? Like replace someone, like oil change? Replace a starter?
I do oil change on the generator. So like, and that's the thing about, you know, and I'll say that about maintenance is that people don't understand that the maintenance on an RV is probably 100 times more important than it is on your house or your car, because you know a little bit of water damage to an RV can be catastrophic. Your systems on the RV, you know, if they're not maintained and not done maintenance on, you know, that stuff breaks, and it's pretty expensive to replace. I just did an AC replacement last week, and it was $1,500 just for the AC.
Fuck.
Yeah. So they're not cheap. So you know, keeping up on your maintenance on an RV is really important. Not to mention, most of the warranties that are on that manufacturers give for all this stuff requires annual maintenance, annual inspections on those systems that they're warranting, and a lot of people don't, you know.
I don't see people maintaining the inspections.
Yeah, they don't read the fine print in, you know, like your roof, for example, on an RV. That's required to be inspected once a year to maintain the manufacturer's warranty. Most manufacturers will give a 10 or 11 year warranty on your roof for a new RV, but people don't read in the fine print that you have to have it inspected once a year, or you have to go up there and inspect it once a year to make sure that all the seals, that the caulking and all that stuff isn't dry rotted or cracked or missing.
Is your RV carpeted?
It's both. I have, it's like a, not a laminate, but it looks like laminate. And then I have carpet on the outer edges underneath, like the sofa underneath the dining room table.
Is there anything in your RV that you wish, like, you know what, I should have done this instead, or anything like that?
I wish the shower was a little bit bigger. You know, I would say that probably be one of the downsides to the one that I got. It's probably what they would call a true RV shower. You know, it's a little corner unit, and it's, but I mean, like I said, you know, being in the Navy all those years and taking, you know, Navy showers and
I'm used to it. You gotta consider the wife. How's she okay with it? I mean, but she was like, man, this is kind of a small space for a shower too, you know?
Yeah, but she's gotten used to it.
What about the bathroom mist in general? The bathroom has to be pretty small. Right?
It's, Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge bathroom, but it's, you know, I think the, you know, I think the one thing about RV life or the camper life is you kind of start to learn what's more important and what you really need and what you really don't need. Because, you know, I don't...
Yeah, because living the RV life, I'm assuming you have to accept the fact you ain't going to have a lot of space on that level that can't complain that you don't have a certain square footage in your bathroom.
Right.
Kind of, so certain things will be regulated.
Well, and it also depends on how much money you want to spend, because there are RVs out there that are on the road that, you know, are upwards of, you know, $2-3 million.
Yeah, that.
You know, is like a rolling house. You know, I mean,
that's a lot.
Yeah.
They're that expensive, of them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You also say, and much more, just ask me. Okay, I'm asking you, what else do you do as a tech, RV tech?
Well, I mean, just about anything that has to do with an RV. I just did a water heater replacement. A lot of people, so one of the cons to campers or RVs is if you have a water heater that is a tank water heater, most of those tank water heaters are only either 6 or 10 gallons.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, taking a shower, you'd be surprised at how fast, you know, 6 gallons of hot water goes. You know, so you don't get to take that, you know, 20-minute or 30-minute Hollywood shower. So they have on-demand water heaters for RVs. So they're basically, you know, they run off of propane. But if you're hooked up to city water or hooked up to the campground water, you know, you can take those 30, 40-minute showers if you want. And it just, you know, it'll pump out as much hot water. So that's one of the extra, you know, one of the things that I can do is change your tank to water heater out and put in a on-demand water heater.
This business card even comes with a barcode.
Yeah, if you scan it, it'll take it to you on my website.
That's pretty pimp. I meant limited, not regulated. My apologies. I'm 2 beers in. I'm a lightweight now. I got a buzz. Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about this? Because this is really an interesting topic to me. Because I've always seen people driving it, and I'm like, man, that would be pretty pimp if I could just, like, you know what, Ruby? Let's you and I and Czar go to like West Virginia this weekend. You know, because I don't. And then we got to look for a hotel, and you know, and take the car out. And we had an RV. We'll just, you know, everyone just go in that bitch. All the food's stocked.
Yep.
And we'll just peace out.
Well, so that would be in that pros column is that, you know, you could go and travel and go someplace that you wanted and wouldn't have to worry about, you know, finding a hotel room or, you know, something like that. But, you know, and then depending on, like I said, there's tons of places out there now that people boondock, you know, state parks that have places where you can pull in and park and just stay for free. There's no hookups or nothing like that. But if your camper has the ability to, you know, maintain for 3 or 4 days self-sustained, you know, you can go up there and stay there for, you know, however much time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
anything else you want to talk about this? Did we pretty much cover everything?
I think so.
All right. All right, now it's time for the Santos signature questions, buddy. Uh-oh. Being in the Navy, out in the ocean, a lot of people that don't live, that are landlocked and don't go in the water.
Like the Coast Guard.
We go far enough. We go far enough for me to say that I had no idea how many shooting stars there were.
Right.
Okay, so I'm assuming that you've seen some crazy shit too. So, do you think you ever seen an alien or UFO or something fishy in the air when you're out there in the middle of the ocean with no city lights, you know, messing up your vision?
I mean, I'd say I probably have seen stuff in the sky that, you know, couldn't explain what it was, but I don't know, you know.
Okay. Now, I do remember you saying how you have a good ghost story.
Yeah, my wife's going to get mad at me telling this because she thinks I'm dragging this thing along with me. So
let's hear this. I'm intrigued.
Well, I mean, just, you know, the one that sticks out in my head is, so when I was back in my house, I was sleeping in the spare room.
Was this Ocean Lakes? Where you live?
No, Hunt Club Forest.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was sleeping in the spare room because I think I was snoring real bad that night, and my wife kicked me out and made me go sleep in the spare room. But literally, you know, in those, you've seen those paranormal movies where somebody gets their foot grabbed and dragged out of bed and down the hallway?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't get dragged down the hallway, but something grabbed a hold of my foot and yanked me, tried to get me to come out of the bed.
Was it?
So.
Wait. Has that ever happened before? Has anyone else had any type of paranormal activity in that room?
No.
Was it sleep paralysis?
I don't know. I don't think so because I wasn't paralyzed. I was laying in bed. Literally, something grabbed a hold of my foot, and I felt it. And my eyes popped open, and the sheet was on the end of the bed was off, and I was. My feet were hanging off the end of the bed. Like I had been pulled forward.
Was there like a handprint on your ankle or foot that was nothing?
No.
Did you hear or smell anything? Nope. Nothing happened before or after?
Not that night, no.
What about another night?
But I've had nights in that same room where it felt like something was in the ceiling, hovering above me, over the top of me, in the ceiling.
Holy moly.
So my wife has always said that she thought that I had a spirit or something that has followed me around because we were visiting some friends in Tennessee and I had that, and I don't know if it was, I don't know if you ever heard of the old hag.
Explain. What that is for two people.
Okay, well, so there's a legend or that this old hag appears in your sleep, and they relate it to like sleep paralysis. But I had, so she, I was at we were at some friend's house in Tennessee, and I was asleep, and I was awoken, and she was hovering over the bed, over the top of me. And in this, like, she had come down out of this cloud, and because I could see all the, you know, whether it was a cloud or smoke or something around her, but she had long white hair, and she had taken,
was this a dream?
No, I don't know. It didn't feel like a dream. It didn't feel like a dream, but at the time, I have apnea. Mm-hmm. So I was wearing a CPAP mask.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had taken the hose from my machine and had it wrapped around my neck and was choking me.
You let her do that? Were you?
I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to wake my wife up that was sleeping next to me. And I couldn't get her to wake up. Like I couldn't reach over and touch her, my I couldn't move, and I don't remember exactly how it ended. But
well, you didn't die.
But yeah, I didn't die, so I woke up.
So she's a loser for failing,
right?
A failed attempt of a murder, right?
But we had been drinking bourbon.
But when you woke up, was it wrapped around your head? Your neck?
No.
Okay.
So
bourbon.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. We were.
It's crazy.
We had been drinking bourbon from with some friends that had went on this distillery tour that was of this place in North Carolina that used to be an old jail.
Okay, that could be haunted.
Yeah. So that's she thought that it was
something got attached to you there.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Well, through the bourbon.
Through the bourbon.
Yeah.
But no That's one crazy. Else experiences shit.
Nope.
Nothing in the house, no other family member? Just you.
Just me.
Hmm.
So.
That's interesting. All right. Well, is that it, man? Gee, that's kind of creepy, man. If something grabbed me and dinked me out of bed, that's a strong person because I'm 250 pounds. And I'd be like, man.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it didn't yank me completely out of bed. But
enough for you to wake you up, though, right? Yeah. That's crazy.
And moved. I mean, it moved me down in the bed.
Yeah.
So.
Dang. That's creepy.
Right.
All right, Brian. So this is going to be the end of the podcast. And I'm going to read your business card again for everyone basically in Hampton Roads area for the present time being.
Correct.
How long are you going to be in the area till?
Till November.
And all right.
And then we're headed back down to Florida for the warmer weather.
Which you should claim for your no state tax, right?
Yeah, I need to change my residency to
Yeah, there. I would. All right, well, it's Brian Bruner, owner, veteran, yourrvtech.net, certified RV technician and licensed and insured, 757-270-1795. Mobile RV repair, inspections, and maintenance, air conditioners, furnaces, water heaters, tank, on-demand and hydronic, plumbing, electrical troubleshooting and repair, awnings, minor slide repairs, propane system, generator maintenance, and much more. Just call and ask him. Now, that being said, please follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, and Amazon Music. And I hope you enjoy this podcast. Y'all have a good day.